Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, as we hear about rainbows in our first reading from the book of Genesis, I must confess that I've had snippets of Kermit the Frog's song rolling around in my head all throughout this last week, where he's singing, "Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?" It's kind of hard to get that song out of your head once it's there. That does make me wonder, why are there so many songs about rainbows? And why are we so drawn to their beauty and their color? Well, it seems to me that people have a fascination with rainbows because of their staggering beauty. And if you've ever been in a rainstorm and seen a rainbow appear in the sky above you, you know the wonder and amazement you feel when you see those colors lighting up the cloudy sky. When a rainbow appears, it's fairly typical to hear someone shout out, "Look, there's a rainbow," as their coworkers or their family and friends rush to hurry and catch a glimpse of it. We know scientifically that a rainbow appears because of a special combination of raindrops and clouds and sunshine, letting us marvel in their beauty and design, often for just a moment or two. Still, rainbows do fascinate us, and they capture our attention. They give us glimpses into heaven that we try to hold on to with quickly taken pictures before the rainbow disappears. And I think they're so powerful because they create a sense of hope and wonder that song after songs sing about. Anyone who's ever seen The Wizard of Oz may think of Judy Garland's song, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," with its words saying, "Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true." Perhaps our fascination with rainbows goes all the way back to the story of Noah and the Ark. We find the account of Noah and the Ark in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where the rainbow becomes a sign of God's promise to his people. Let's take a moment now to recall the story of Noah. The story of Noah and his family, as it's told to us in the book of Genesis, describes Noah as being a righteous man. The Bible says that he was a man who walked faithfully with God and found favor in God's sight. Noah and his wife had three married sons who were allowed to come with them on the ark. The book of Genesis tells us that God looked upon the sinfulness of the world, the violence going on amongst the people, the evil intentions in their hearts, and how everybody looked to their own interests instead of to the Lord's, and he became angry. God told Noah that he will send a flood to destroy every living thing on the earth, but that he will save Noah and his family as well as two of every living creature. So Noah began to build his ark, a gigantic boat to God's design and specifications. And then God commanded Noah and his family and the animals to gather on the boat as the rains began to fall. The rains came and the floods rose for 40 days, while the Bible says the ark floated gently above the waters. As the floodwaters receded, the Bible says that God remembered Noah and his family and all the animals on the ark, sending winds to dry the earth so that eventually dry land could appear and Noah and his family and all the animals could leave the ark again in safety. Then God made a promise to Noah and his family, a promise we remember to this day. Listen again to the words of our first reading. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." This is the first covenant in the Bible. And in the next 4 weeks, we're going to hear one more covenant from the Old Testament every week. But this is the first covenant. And of it, God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all the earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. It's interesting that God put the bow in the clouds to remind him never to destroy the earth again. It's a sign of hope for us, but it's a reminder to God not to lose his temper again. The rainbow ever since has become a sign of God's promise to be faithful to his people. A rainbow in the sky has ever since been a sign of wonder and hope for people to see. The rainbow is a sign of God's faithful promise to be with his people. In the rainbow, all of creation is giving a new beginning, a new opportunity to live in the harmony that God intended. Yet the rainbow is just a fleeting sign of God's faithfulness. We know from experience how quickly rainbows come and go. The storm's clouds gather, the rain descends upon the earth, the clouds move on, the sun comes out, and for a while, a brief while, we see the rainbow in the sky, and then it disappears just as quickly as it appeared. As God's children, we look around us and try to detect signs of God's presence and commitment to us and to our loved ones. We eagerly look for signs like the rainbow to remind us of God's love and faithfulness. Whether it's a rainbow or a child's smile, whether it's an inspiring story being told, or the beauty of a tiny hummingbird flying just outside of our windows, we eagerly look for glimpses of God's glory and love all around us. We look to the Bible to give us reminders that God has been faithful to his people who lived before us, and that he will hear us and our prayers today. We come to worship to feel his presence with us, to receive his grace through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. And as God's people, we need those signs of his love and grace and faithfulness, especially after this week with the shooting down in Florida. We need signs of God's love and grace and faithfulness to sustain us in our time. We see the ultimate sign of God's faithful promises in the cross. When we look to the cross, we have a constant and permanent reminder of how much God loves us. He loves us enough that he sent his only son so that the entire world might be saved through him. For us as Christians, the cross is an ever-present reminder and sign of the depths of God's love for us. The cross is the sign for us of how faithful and forgiving God really is. The God we worship is a God who has shown us that he is faithful to his promises each and every day. Our second reading from 1 Peter says that just as God saved Noah and his descendants through the ark, so God will save us through the death and resurrection of Christ. So while we may stop and take notice of the phone calls coming in, take notice of the signs of God's glory all around us, or we may be tempted to scour the earth for reminders of God's glory and commitment to his people, in the end, I don't think we actually have very far to look. All we need to do, if we want a reminder of God's love for us, is to look at the cross. And there, we have the best and most lasting reminder of God's commitment to us and all of humanity. There's these shows on TV where people want to find the Ark of the Covenant. That's interesting. I get into that historical, biblical archaeology. But people are willing to scour the earth, and it's really simple. If you want a constant reminder of God's love for you, it's right there. Always available for us. And so as we continue our 40-day Lenten journeys that began this last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, Let us ever keep in mind the image of the rainbow and the cross before us. Both are signs of God's covenant and commitment to his people. The rainbow is beautiful, but fleeting. And the cross is ugly, but life-giving. And both signs point to our gracious and faithful Lord, who has given his word to us and who will keep his word forever. Please join me in a time of prayer. Everlasting, ever-loving God, guide our paths during these 40 days of Lent, that we might not only be brought to honesty about our condition as sinners, but that we might also come to a sure and living hope in your forgiving and redemptive work among us. We pray this in the name of the one who suffered for our sins once and for all time, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.